Hey everybody, this is Joseph Pasek of barnburner.ca. Welcome to Barnburner Live. You see, I'm with the new co-host, better than Norm, Heather Toole. Heather, how are you doing this week?
I'm fantastic.
All right, Norm Rumack is smiling. We're going to ask him about his world-famous date in a couple of
days. I didn't know it was world-famous.
Yeah,
how did it become? Became world-famous.
Listen, when you don't have a date since 1980, it becomes world-famous. Even the Pope called me, wanted to know how
really?
It is. But we got a special
Thank the Lord.
Guest. Yeah, we got a special guest, Eric Grossman, Director of Media Relations for Toronto Wolfpack. They got a huge, huge matchup on Saturday. Wolfpack, all right, they're like 26-1.
Yeah, 26-1. It says it right there. You know, like it's, you know, an unbelievable season.
Yeah, and of course, if they win Saturday, they make it to the elite level, the Super League. So I think last year you guys tried and you lost out in the championship game?
Yeah, we lost to the London Broncos in the million pound match, 4-2, which was unheard of because I was talking to some people. They've been around the rugby league for, you know, 20, 25 years, and there's never been a game they've ever seen where not one team scored a try on either side. So it was like a very strange day.
But yeah, that's not regular.
Not even close. Like there's been blowouts where a team doesn't score at all, but the other, you know, but the other team does. Mm. So it's, you know, that was very unusual. Now I don't expect that this time.
Heather's our, you know, Wolfpack writer for Barnburner, but and she always raves about the Den, the home of Lamport Stadium, the home of Wolfpack. Take us through the Den, the atmosphere, and everything like that.
Oh,
like
it's
Norm's looking around. Yeah. You should be attending Wolfpack games, right?
Yeah. Well, problem is, Joe, I work overnight,
yeah,
so I
work
sleep
overnight.
During the day.
You're planning your next date.
Well, of course. Why wouldn't
All right, go ahead, Eric. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's something for everybody, right? Like you got your, you have your Liberty Village crowd because, you know, that's where we play in Liberty Village. And there's like, you know, there's a ton of bars around there. And we just have that kind of like, you know, we have 12 craft breweries that are, you know, that are set up at the beer garden. And you know, we have our, you know, the fans are all kinds. Like you got your kids, you got your adults, you got your family, you got your single. It's perfect. It blends in perfectly into the city. And it's a fun place to be for 2 hours, really. It's a 2 hour game plus your two-hour after party, and there's your afternoon right there.
Is the after party better than, you know,
I mean, it depends who you ask, right?
Right?
It depends who you ask, right? Like, it goes so well.
Is the after party...
the whole time's off the charts. Everything's worth it. Before, after, during. And, you know, I think you hit it there, the inclusivity, and I said that a couple weeks ago here, is huge there. It's not just geared for one type of crowd. Everyone can be there from little kids to senior citizens, and everyone's having a good time. Everyone's in there, and they're all mingling together, which is nice to see. Because a lot of times at those events, you don't really see those types of things happening.
Agreed. I mean, like, you tell me, where else can you go to a sporting event in Toronto and where you get that kind of access, where you're right down on the pitch, like right on the field, where the beer garden is, and then after the game, the players go around, they shake people's hands, they take selfies with them, and then they'll go into the beer garden after the game and mingle with the fans. You just can't get that anywhere else. And it's worth every penny, I think.
I noticed, you know, the time I get to check a Toronto paper, I don't really read the papers that much anymore. It's mostly like
it's
everybody
eyes,
else.
Right? Yeah.
Online, what's that?
It's hard. She said it's hard on your eyes.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Heather, join
Heather with all the aging jokes. It's all right. I still got 20/20 corrected vision. But anyway, how are you finding it? Obviously, you know, in large markets, you're talking about international sport. Beyond Toronto, like, do you guys get media recognition overseas?
Oh,
where,
yeah,
where that sport is really huge.
Yeah, well, the good thing about what we get to do is we're a global brand, so we own the rights to our TV deal. So we have a deal with Sky Sports in the UK, which
they carry all the games over there.
Yeah, they're huge, right?
Yep.
Like we're on the same time, like right before, you know, Manchester United or, you know, Tottenham or whatever.
Yeah.
So we're on that stage. It's our broadcast. Like we've paid for those rights and we shop them around the world.
What kind of numbers do they generate?
Very good. I don't know the exact number, but it's at peak time. It's you can get in that 100,000 area, which is pretty darn good, I think, for a championship.
Well,
for a championship
especially
rugby.
Considering the competition you're going up against overseas, right?
Absolutely,
it's 40 around the clock.
Yeah, so that's how we see it. Like we take it and we shop it around the whole world: New Zealand, Australia, Canada, United States. Like everyone gets to watch our games.
Okay. So, and speaking about that, in Canada specifically, can you talk about what happened? I don't know, maybe a month and a half ago with television rights?
In what sense, Joe? Like,
because we were reading, like he says, reading the paper.
Yeah.
Before you were on TV.
Yeah.
I think it's Game Plus or something like that.
Yeah, and Game now, TV. Yeah, that's right.
And now I don't think you're on anywhere, right?
Oh no! So now, so what happens is now that it's the playoffs,
okay.
It becomes something totally different. So Sky still has the rights, okay. But the thing is, they now have the rights. We're not paying for these games anymore. So what we did was CBC Sports Online. They'll stream it,
okay.
And Game TV will pick up these playoff games.
Okay.
So yeah. So that's good.
Yeah,
that helps.
And you're selling out like crazy there at Lamport Stadium. What? How much does it fit? Like 9,000?
Yeah. So we're not like totally selling out, but we're getting really good crowds. I mean, like you guys know, like in the city of Toronto in the summer on a Saturday afternoon, I could probably write down 100 places you can go, right?
Well, that and on
Starbucks for normal.
Yeah.
Well, and you've also got during the summer Blue Jay games every
same time.
Weekend.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. 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 We're out.
Yeah. Well, do you know that team, Eric?
Yeah. No, I've heard of them.
Yeah, you heard of them.
So
right.
Off
heard
those
of
numbers, like last week they were saying there was 9,300 plus people there.
Yeah.
What kind of numbers are you projecting as an organization for this coming weekend?
Yeah. So right now, as it stands, I think what we were talking about it today, they're going fast. So I think we're going to get close to a sellout. I really do. We're limited. We have limited seats left.
All right. I'm not throwing the Argos under the bus, but do you know, you probably know this.
Yeah.
The Wolfpack last game outdrew the Argos.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Argos, Norm, almost as old as Norm, 131, 132 year old.
I'm older.
Yeah, you're older. But no. Yeah.
But for 150,
that is a big coup. Like, oh, let's face it, you were on radio all the time. Oh, we got to move to an outdoor stadium instead of concrete.
I think it, I'm sure Eric shares the sentiment. Obviously, the Wolfpack want to do well. But I think it's a shame, Eric, to see the Argos, in particular the CFL, not to be at the expense of the Wolfpack. But I think it's a shame that Torontonians look down on the CFL that way.
Yeah.
And the attitude is, well, it's not as good as the NFL. Can you imagine if people thought of Toronto FC that way? Right. Well, it's not the Premier League. No, it's not even close to the Premier League, but they still attend. And yet the excuse is, well, the CFL is not the NFL. I just think it's a shame because elsewhere across Canada, there's some markets where the teams struggle, the fans stay away. But, Hamilton's been revitalized.
Yeah.
Montreal, when they're winning, they're supported.
Yeah.
Ottawa, when they're winning, and especially since they return.
Yeah.
The Western Canadian, BC's, Vancouver's a little bit like Toronto. But I think it's a real shame that especially in Toronto, it's kind of like a wannabe American attitude. It's like, well, it's not the NFL, so we won't. So I think it's a real shame for Toronto.
So
really
then what do you think it is then? You kind of touched a good point.
I think the millennial generation, I understand why, because they grew up watching the NFL when CFL games were blacked out. That's partly the problem. But I just can't understand that mentality, whereas, in the States, high school football, you get 10 and 20,000. Mm-hmm. I don't mean just Pennsylvania or Texas.
No,
I mean right across the
board.
College football, I don't even have to tell anybody.
Mm.
Whatever school, even the Division IIs and IIIs can get 10 and 20,000. Then there's, the big house in Michigan, USC, et cetera, everywhere. And I went to Syracuse. Even the Dome can hold 50,000 for football. So most of those guys aren't going to the pros.
Mm-hmm.
So the Americans don't think, well, they're not as good as the NFL, so why should I go watch high school football?
Yeah.
And it's a shame. Some Canadians, not all. Obviously, in Western Canada, they love the CFL. They love their colleges.
But in Toronto,
I think it's just like I say. It's like, well, it's not the NFL. I just think it's a shame because I just don't think it reflects well on Toronto that happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if you guys benefit from it. But I don't think it's good for any – for pro sports in general to see a franchise decline like
that.
It's just not
good.
They have to find a way to build excitement because I think that's what they're missing. When you go to college games, there's excitement before the games, leading up to the games.
Well, they did, and
you don't have that
but
in the CFL.
To be fair, Heather, you recall, and you guys would recall too, when they had the likes of the late John Candy and Wayne Gretzky and the former owner of the LA Kings, Bruce McNall, owning the Argos, they paid huge money to have, remember the Blues Brothers did a halftime show, the building, the dome was sold out, but they blew their brains out, so they sold it after 2 years. So they got a response. And I never bought this theory that, well, the dome, it's a, you know, the cave, and it's not good enough. And yet there's less fans attending when it's outdoor, which the fans, I used to hear them calling in, oh, we would go if it was an outdoor stadium. Well, now they're staying away in record numbers. They used to go in larger numbers.
Like I said, it's the perception, because we loved, me and you love the CFL, but the perception is once Sunday afternoon, okay, I'm going to ask you, okay, Sunday afternoon, if the Wolfpack are not playing, do you watch the, first of all, the Argos are not even on. The, who knows when the Argos,
well,
they play
their
Thursday,
games are
Wednesday,
a different
Friday,
day.
Sunday.
Like, doesn't matter what day they're on. They don't draw well.
But Sunday afternoons,
yeah,
the perception is, I could even ask Heather, what are you doing Sunday afternoon?
Watching.
If you had if you had the choice between the Argos are on the same
But Joe,
time.
Not all their games are on Sunday. Very few
exactly,
of them.
Exactly, exactly.
So
again,
that excuse doesn't wash.
In Toronto, especially in Toronto, the perception is it's a second rate. With the Wolfpack, they bring the family environment, like you just said. Yeah. Family environment. Yeah. With Toronto FC, everybody, they check their heritage. Oh, my dad's a soccer fan. I grew up a Portugal, Spain, everybody.
Yeah.
So you have a, but in the CFL, you grew up watching the CFL. Oh, I don't want to go, Dad. I don't want to go to CFL. I'd rather watch the Buffalo Bills.
If I had anything to do with CFL marketing or Argos marketing, I don't. I'm not a marketing background. But to me, it's just the thing they've got to fight is that one point that fans keep hearing, it's not the NFL. I would advertise. Mm. I would go out of my way to advertise. We're not the NFL. We're proud to be the CFL.
That's what they did.
Not
10
to
years
knock
ago.
The NFL. But let's face it. How many games? Your Buffalo Bills, all due respect, Joe, with New England. Oh, a field goal. Okay, they had some touchdowns.
Listen,
a lot of the games.
Why are you bringing Buffalo? Don't bring San Fran's in.
All right.
Come on.
A lot of the, you guys tell me, a lot of the games with the NFL, yes, they're superior athletes. Okay, but a lot of games with the NFL are field goal contests. I wouldn't say they're exactly riveting, and I'm sorry. A lot of the Grey Cups have been better than the Super Bowls. Mm.
Even the halftime is better than the
Well,
Super Bowl
I mean,
halftime.
It depends what kind of entertainment.
Shania Twain, right? Never mind. But let's, you know, you're right.
I'm just saying, I think
me and you are in the same boat, but people, I guess 25, less, maybe 30, and less.
It's more like under 40, NFL,
because it's gambling. It's
how
many people would tell you, okay, I'm betting on the CFL today? There's not even 0.01%.
No, I know, but you know what, Joe? If you want to get that market, that's not a bad idea, because gamblers will bet on on the sun rising and setting.
But 10 years ago,
gambling.
What was the CFL slogan? I'm not trying.
Well, one of them was,
are bigger.
Well, we got bigger balls. that's not a bad marketing angle. I like that. It's a little bit brave there.
And their field is wider. It's more exciting, honestly. I'm a CFL fan. It's more, and you are also, more exciting to watch. CFL than watching every time they touch the ball, they run for 3 yards. 3 yards, 3 yards. They got 4 downs to make 10 yards.
I think what part of the problem is when they get new owners, and I think Larry Tenenbaum and
that's your brother calling
my
you.
My brother calling.
Norm's brother calling.
Always when he's on his way home from work, like clockwork. Hi, Marty. Busy right now, but probably late.
Shut it down and let's talk. First of all, let's
reel it back. I'm going to reel it back to rugby for a minute. We got a little bit off topic.
No, it's Norm's fault.
Sorry.
Gareth O'Brien.
Yeah.
He's the fullback for the Wolfpack.
Yeah.
He recently won the Betfred Championship Rugby League Player of the Year.
Yes.
That's huge.
Yeah, for sure.
Big congrats to him. He was picked up by Toronto 2018.
Last year.
He was up against two of his own teammates.
Yep.
Andy Akers, whichever way you say it, and John Wilkin.
Yep.
As well as that, Brian McDermott got nominated for Coach of the Year.
Sure.
He didn't quite take that one back, but nonetheless.
Yeah.
That's some recognition, not just for those single players, but do you think that's more recognition coming to the team, that they're solidifying their stance in the league?
100%. Couldn't have said it better myself. Like, you know, you're the best team, the best players on the best team usually would be the players that would win that award, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's just the common sense. But there's another player on our team, Ricky Lutelli, who we got from the NRL, from the National Rugby League in Australia.
Yep.
And he was our big free agent signing. Someone told me today from Sky Sports, actually, we had him at our practice today, told me that if we were to make the Super League, he would be the best center he'd be the best center in the game in Super League. That's how good he is, and he's not even on that list that you mentioned.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you this. I see Norm's shirt. Of course, it's Chelsea. The logo.
Damn right, it's Chelsea.
Well, what else? 19. What else do you wear? Syracuse or Chelsea? Give me a break already.
I do wear Syracuse.
All right, forget about Syracuse or Chelsea. What about the Toronto? Look at that. Look at that.
Yeah.
Like the art cheek says, zoom it. All right.
Here, you can look at this one.
This one. Right here.
Okay.
Anyways, it's the Wolfpack logo. How did they come up with that logo?
They hired a graphics.
But like as part of the team, you always get compliments, like their uniforms, their logo, black and white, and everything. Because Toronto, Chelsea, blue and white, right?
Yeah.
Did they? Were you part of the meetings that they were?
No. That would have been when they got the team at the end of 2016, right?
Yeah.
So the 2017 was their first season. I wasn't there yet.
Okay.
But I know McLaren McCann was the marketing agency they used.
Yeah.
And I think
they're
guy,
big.
But yeah,
they're really
they're big.
Big.
And there's a guy by the name of Steve Tasker. He was the guy who helped spearhead this one.
Not the former Buffalo.
Not that guy. Right. No. That would have been an interesting story.
Some plays in the ASCF.
Yeah. So that's what I know. I mean, that's all I know. I wasn't there at that time.
All right, and people buy the jerseys, buy logos for, because that is a catchy,
sure,
like logo and everything.
It's a
like
great
that.
Logo.
Yeah, everyone says it's up there.
It's extinguished, like Toronto. Yeah. Like I said, blue and white with the leaves, the Argos, the Jays, but this black and
it's
white
strong.
And it's strong logo.
Yeah.
It stands out, and you guys. Arguably, for the last 2-3 years, have been the best team in Toronto.
Yeah.
Honestly,
it's hard to.
All right. So this weekend, Saturday, 2:30, you're in that matchup.
Million-pound game.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I know you're a little bit biased. Okay?
Oh, sure.
But let's look at the other team.
Yeah.
How do we control the other team? And because Norm wants to come by and drum champagne on you and everything like that. So go ahead.
No. So Featherston. They're a lot of their players on the team are actually part-time guys, believe it or not. They're part-timers, so they actually have real jobs. Like, they literally, I was reading an article,
they
a guy.
From England?
So a guy, there was an article on a guy.
What's their hometown? My God.
Norm's going to know. Here's Norm's question. Do they like, find out if they like Chelsea?
No, because when I was staying, way back 30 years ago, I stayed in England for about a month, and a buddy of mine from, Toronto, a summer camp guy, was staying in a little town, but I think there's a famous pitch
it's
there.
A little town.
It's called Twickenham.
Okay.
Twickenham was the home of, I believe it's the home of England's national, it used to be the home of England's either national rugby or cricket team.
Yeah.
It's a big state. It's just outside.
I think I've heard of it.
But yeah, the Twickenham is a beautiful little village. But anyway, I didn't know how close to London they were.
I don't know, to be honest with you. Excuse me. It could be really close or really far, but there's so many towns that are like, it's like boom, 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 boom. You know what I mean? Like all in a row. You can get like five different towns within a span of 5 minutes.
Yeah, the train is really like a milk run.
Yeah. So there was a guy, there was an article, I think it was in The Guardian or something, and he had to ask his boss for the weekend off because he wanted to go play in the million-pound match against Toronto. Seriously. And
well, that's kind of like, with all due respect, it's kind of like probably those beer leagues for professional footballers in England. You can play at all kinds of levels, but probably at certain levels, you have a regular job and you go play footy a couple times a week.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, they knocked off. They eliminated 14... Lee, it was kind of like a wild card game.
Yeah.
They knocked off Lee, then they knocked off York, who finished second or third in our league, and then they knocked off Toulouse. That was a huge upset in Toulouse, all on the road. They were the fifth seed.
France.
In France, they were all on the road, and Toulouse was the only team that people thought could beat us because they're all full time like us, and they were unbelievable. They're the only team that beat us this year, Toulouse, and they knocked them off. They've already knocked, so that's three teams they knocked off, and they're trying to. Yeah. Finish it off, right? And they're nothing to sneeze at. They're tough, and they play like a dirty style they play it well.
So
they play a good dirty style.
Because their last game here in July, it was one of the closest games that Toronto had that they did win, but
it was very close.
It was a 4-point differential.
Yep.
In that match, it was an extremely rough match.
Yeah.
There was yellow cards handed out because as the result of a physical altercation between Darcy Lussick from Toronto and Jack Bussey from Featherstone. Do you think that type of scuffle is going to linger and carry over and affect in Saturday? Or do you think that'll just be an out of sight, out of mind, that was then, this is now?
No, here's what I think. Jack Bussey was on our team last year. and I don't, because I was last year was my first year. He might have been the year before too. So let's just say I know definitely was on our team last year, and he we had to let him go because he had an incident where he bit another player in on the ear, and we just don't stand for
after
that.
A normal roommate.
That doesn't happen very often, I will say. But we said sorry, you know, this is not how we do things here, and we let him go off his contract. So he obviously is going to hold that in his back pocket, which would lead to that incident with Darcy. And to answer your question, no, I don't know if they're going to be so blatant with it, but they have to get under our skin. Mm-hmm. They have to. That's their basically their one way to kind of get us off our game, because on paper, pound for pound, we're better than them. I don't think that's a state like that's just stating the obvious. However, it doesn't mean you win the game just because you show up. And they're going to do those tactics. They're going to try and get under skin, have us take some penalties, and it would be smart if they did. I think that's what we're expecting. Yeah.
All right. So I know you're biased. I'm going to ask.
No, her. Go ahead.
I'm going to ask her because you're going to pick the Wolfpack.
Right? Yeah.
So Saturday, the big finale game here. Who's your pick and why?
I do think Toronto's going to win. I don't think it's going to be a huge blowout like they're used to.
Right.
You know, as Eric said, the Rovers have been picking off some of the top-seeded teams. So they're showing that they're there. If you kind of followed what happened in the Toulouse-Featherstone game, they had a fairly big lead, and it wasn't a lead that anybody thought, because Toulouse, they are big and they're strong guys. Like, they know what they're doing. And at one point, it was 30 to, like, 7 or 4 to something like that. And they just stayed to it. Like, they're coming out as a different team than they were through the rest of the season.
Yeah.
And they're hungry for it because everybody else pushed them down. So I think they are going to be hungry and they're going to come. But as long as Toronto can keep cool, keep those, you know, for lack of a better term, immature, under the skin things out of mind and play their game, Toronto can handle them.
All right. Yeah. Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
When you get
they're pretty rough.
Those are the two people that go in the middle down low to elongate the scrum. So you're kind of more on the...
And they try to grab the ball.
Angular
see
bit.
What you said.
Your head is between people's legs because you got to get in there tight. You got your hooker, another one for you.
Yeah.
You got your hooker
Joe likes
here by
that.
Your head.
Oh, yeah.
Prop, and you know, so you're there to elongate that, and then there's people behind you, bud. That was my first year.
Have you been watching any of the World Cup at all?
I haven't seen much of it,
okay. Yeah, it's hard to watch. It's on at like 1 in the morning or 3 in the morning.
2 in the morning.
Yeah. It's just because it's good. I mean, that's as good as it gets, really, right?
When you started off here with Toronto Wolfpack and see it, you know, obviously you guys are winning all the time.
Sure.
Do you see it grow and grow and grow? And let's say next year you're in the Super League and all that. Like, how much better and how much more can you get? Because you're already on top of the mountain.
Yeah. Well, the goal is not just to get in the Super League. The goal is to win it too, right? That's seriously what it is. You know, so that's it is growing. I mean, from where I started last year. I mean, it's the fan interest, the media interest, that kind of thing. That's growing, which is huge. You got to keep in mind, it's our third year.
Yeah.
You know, these things take time. It's a startup business. It is.
So and I think, too, what a lot of people also don't understand is that, okay, you don't just make it to the Super League and then stay there for the rest of your life.
Right.
Once you're there, you have to keep competing, because if you're the bottom end, just as a team gets promoted in, you get demoted out.
The team that beat us last year, London Broncos, they were the team that got relegated this year. So it's a shame, because London is a massive city with a massive market. They should be in the Super League. They should be. Yeah. I mean, a city that big.
How many teams are in the Super League?
There's 12 teams.
12 teams.
12 teams.
Okay. And if you make it the Super League, you bump somebody off.
Yep, London's already down. So the team that beat us in the million-pound game last year, they got relegated this year because they finished in last, like you said, Heather.
Is it,
and
when you're in the Super League, are you more notoriety coming around?
Yeah, because you got more. There's more eyeballs on you. There's more attention on you because that's where the money is and that's where the action is.
And you guys play, like you said, in Europe and all that.
In England,
Yeah, England. When you come in, a Toronto Canadian team, are they looking down at you?
Who's they?
Like the teams that you're playing
no.
in London or the London
no.
Media or anything like that?
No, I would have thought so when I started.
Okay.
It's the opposite.
Really?
Yeah. They say that our game event, the way we put on a match, is pound for pound better than anything they've seen. Our coach and players have said they've played in front of 70,000 people at Wembley. And they said that our believe it or not, our stadium and what we do on a game day is pound for pound as good as that, if not better. Mm-hmm. That's what they
would
say,
change about the atmosphere in the stadium? Nothing, or obviously is the goal Lamport Stadium? Let's face it, maybe moving to BMO Field is the goal eventually moving up to a better stadium? Or
no, I don't think that's I don't think so. I don't think that's a goal. The goal is to keep putting our brand. Keep improving the brand. Get more people coming. Get more people talking about it. Get more people, interested in it, and just growing the game of rugby in Toronto and in Canada. Like growing it from the grassroots, getting kids to play and everything like that. Like we saw with basketball when the Raptors started, or baseball when the Blue Jays started. So it's things like that. I mean, the stadium is another. We like playing Lamport because Lamport is it's a much smaller stadium. Yeah, yeah. So everything's on top of you. You've been there, so you feel it, right? You feel it. If you're at BMO, there's 30,000 seats. Everything's spread out. There's a patch here. It's not as rough, It's not as
okay. So let me ask you. There's actually two teams in Toronto.
Yeah.
One, you guys, Toronto Wolfpack. Another one is Toronto Arrows. I get this all the time. Maybe I'm going to ask you the same question. Can you differentiate between you guys and the Arrows?
Yeah, it's we play rugby league and they play rugby union.
Okay, so what does that mean?
So Union is the more popular brand of rugby. That's the one that anyone that that played rugby when they're a kid or whatever, they're playing.
We're in the lock.
Yeah, Heather's playing Union. She's playing Union, right? Yeah. You're playing Union style. The World Cup is Union. Union gets more press.
And there's things. Yeah. And that's where in the first season.
Yeah.
And I was all like, great, Toronto's got a team. And then I went and I'm sitting there going, I don't understand why they're not doing this or why they're not doing that, but it's the two different.
So, Joe, rugby league is much like football. You have six downs to score.
Okay.
And you want to put, if you can't score, you want to put the other team as far back as you can, like a punt style.
Yeah.
So that's basically what it is. That's all.
Has there been talk? Like, this is, I'm just throwing out.
Yeah.
Wolfpack versus Arrows exhibition game.
I would love to see that. The only difference is, I don't want to sound bad, like against the Arrows or anything like that, but someone told me that it would be bigger. I don't know what the right word is. They're playing in the national. Those kids, and they're Canadian, which is great, by the way. We don't have that angle. Like every player in our team is from somewhere else in the world, or no one's from Canada. So we can't say that we have Canadians playing in this thing. The Arrows do. Like the Arrows, some of the Arrows are playing for Canada, Team Canada in the World Cup.
Yeah.
So, it's completely different. I don't even know. I'd like to see it, though. It'd be fun.
They also play at Lamport also.
Yeah, they play at Lamport. It would be fun to watch. I would like to see it.
Yeah, maybe next year you could have an exhibition game. One week play, the year style rules.
And they had a great year, right?
Yeah, they had.
Yeah, I didn't really
an expansion team, they made it to the playoffs.
To the playoffs. Yeah, so they
did very well. To
so good things for, isn't it weird, though, that we're in the city of Toronto, a major market, and there's two rugby teams, but not two hockey teams.
Well, that's
if you think about it, I know it's apples.
The hockey is all about you got to pay a lot of money to MLSE to share.
Yeah, but like New York has two teams, and that's another topic.
There could easily be a team in Toronto if the league. Yeah. Basically, the Leafs call the shots.
It's just weird. We have two rugby like that. It just seems weird that we have two rugby teams, which is great. I like that. But
I mean, two hockey teams could be supported, but that's about it. I wouldn't say two basketball.
Right.
Two.
You think baseball? Right. Two baseball.
No,
two,
not
one
a
American,
chance.
One
I think they got
a chance in hell.
That one they have a little better.
It's not a big enough market to do
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
All right.
What's Blue Jay attendance been this year?
I think the Wolfpack beat the Blue Jays attendance, right?
Yeah.
Well, we talked about last week the Wolfpack beat the Argos attendance. Yeah.
Well,
so.
Especially the Blue Jays, though, it's basically about wins. If you're not winning, they're not coming out. It's just the way it works.
Yeah.
All right. So tell everybody where they can purchase tickets, and Saturday's the big go ahead.
Go right to our website, www.torontowolfpack.com. You can get your tickets. Everything, the Ticketmaster will flash up right there, and you can buy them. They're going quick. One real quick.
I know you're not going to say it, but do you plan a big celebration? Come on. Are we going to talk about like the Raptors championship parade there? Norm wants to lead the parade there. Come on. Imagine
you have a parade in Liberty Village with all those bars and restaurants.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not there. How about this? If we win on Saturday and we get in the Super League and then we win Super League, then you can see something probably a little bigger. But, I mean, guys are...
You're telling me you're not to expect a big parade.
There's going to be a big party in the beer garden.
Right. Thank you.
They will have the DJ there.
Thank you. And you're 100. Yeah, that's where the party's going to be, for sure.
All right, maybe we got to go there, Norm.
I'm telling you, it's a lot of fun.
Norm wants to know if you're going to have salad with chicken. That's what he wants to know.
What?
Salad with chicken.
Salad
with
chicken. No, yeah, no,
every Thursday we take a McDonald's say,
if you're into salad chicken, actually, that's one thing we don't like.
All right. It's all fast food.
It's the one thing you got to get that before you
liquid
eat.
Lunch.
Yeah. Oh. It's a liquid lunch. I'm telling you, the beer garden is outstanding. No one else has that in the league. Nobody.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, that's another reason why they should. And the ticket prices are not expensive at all.
It's fair. It's fair. It's $30 a ticket. Yeah. It's fair.
It's like a movie, right?
Yeah, so absolutely.
Like, come out and support the Toronto Wolfpack Saturday, 2:30, right?
2:30.
I looked at the weather, 15, sunny, cloudy, perfect day.
Yeah, I'll take it.
You know, for mid-October, perfect days.
I'll take
no
it.
Rain like today. I'm going to say this. Good luck.
Thanks, man.
I don't know if you get a ring or whatever, but
Joe wants.
I get a handshake.
Joe demands from every guest of every sport, even people he doesn't know.
Yeah.
He needs a replica ring.
Yeah,
what
right.
do you mean replica ring? I need the real ring.
He's still waiting for
which now, Eric, you're also a sports fan, okay?
Yeah.
We talked about the Raptors. We're going to go a little bit about the Raptors.
Yeah.
When June, whatever day was, June 10th or whatever, whenever they won.
Yeah.
Right? As a Torontonian and as a sporting fan and working in sports media and all that, when you saw them winning, what did you think?
Oh, man, I couldn't believe it. I honestly I couldn't believe it. I had so much. Didn't you have so much fun watching it, though?
No,
wasn't
no,
it so much fun? I look forward to it. Are you just not a fun guy? You don't have fun with it? Is it nothing?
No, makes fun. No. I'm working at night, so I like to see the highlights.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I had that luxury. I had that luxury to enjoy it. Like, to actually enjoy. And, like,
it was kind of like the Blue Jays in 92, 93, because you'd see in media reports people at bars across the country, right? Remember when the Jays, especially in 92, people in the Yukon and Newfoundland were all gathered around the TV.
Yes.
So the same for the Raptors because it was, you know, obviously a national type occasion because it was, in that sense, it was Canada versus the U.S., right?
For me, having worked in sports my whole life, it was nice to not have to work and actually get to enjoy the game and just
where
to watch it.
Watch it. I don't
all the time. Same chair, same time, same place, same everything.
Beer?
And I couldn't wait. Nope. And I couldn't wait. Bottle water. Pretty boring, right? So, like, that's where I couldn't wait. Like, just to watch and, like, to say the obvious, how about Kawhi Leonard? How about that?
That's my next question.
How about that? Like,
when he left, like, everybody thought Norm actually broke it. Toronto, we sent some guy at a hotel. Toronto's going to sign him and everything like that. But what did you think when you actually heard he's going back home?
Well, I was disappointed, but, like, I don't lose sleep over it. But, like, I was disappointed. It's too bad. I wasn't shocked because, like, you figure, like, you know, I love Toronto, everything about it. It's great. The Raptors, great organization, great players, everything. But, you know, he's going home, right? He's going home to California. I mean, it's hard to argue with that.
And what else can he do?
What do you want? He did, It's not like he doesn't really owe me anything.
Cares.
I was like,
you win a
he didn't fall short.
Yeah.
I'll just say the story that everybody, the elephant in the room, the story that Torontonians and the media don't want to touch,
right?
Which
say
is ever since day one, all their stars, who have stayed?
Yeah.
Who stayed?
Norm
Brunner. It continues.
DeRozan would have.
I wouldn't call it a legacy.
DeRozan would have stayed.
Well,
he's a star. He would have stayed.
And they traded him.
That's right.
Exactly
that
right.
They traded him to win the championship.
I know they did, Joe, but I'm just saying, you would think that the problem before was athletes figuring, Toronto's a good team, but I want to win a championship. Well,
Lowry stayed.
But
he's going to go down as one of the best Raptors.
Yeah,
one of the best Raptors.
He's in the prime of his career.
So let me ask you this.
I'm just saying, that continues Toronto's problem, if you want to call it the Raptors' problem, of star players, even when they win a championship.
Yeah.
And yes, Kawhi's going home to his family in L.A., but he was wined and dined. You know what I'm saying? There was a bit of a romance with the L.A. Clippers. And I don't blame him for wanting to go home. But again, there's always different reasons. Yeah. Go back to Vince and Tracy and Chris Bosh.
Yeah.
There was always a different reason why guys didn't want to stay in Toronto. And quite frankly, even go to the Blue Jays, outside of Paul Molitor, and we're talking about going back to 77, the expansion. Outside of Paul Molitor, which Blue Jay, I'm not talking about the ones that are Canadian citizens, outside of Paul Molitor, which non-Canadian citizen Blue Jay players ever lived here? Molitor did for a year or two. Nobody else that I know of.
Yeah, actually lived
here. Like, Paul had his daughter in school here.
Yeah.
But other than him, he had almost up around Bayview somewhere.
Yeah.
Other than him, which American athlete who plays in Toronto has ever stayed here? The answer is none.
All right. So you mentioned Kyle Lowry will go down as one of the best Raptors ever. In your opinion, is Kawhi number one? Even though he played 1 year, he brought the... Because if it wasn't for Kawhi, we wouldn't have
been, right? He's the best player we've ever had.
Yeah, well, you can make
best
an argument
player
for
we've
best
ever
best
had
Raptor,
in the uniform.
I'm asking you...
Best Raptor? Yeah, he's the best player that... I mean, I don't...
You can make an argument for Vince, but Vince didn't quite have the same team around him. He had a good team,
Of course.
But not quite the same.
Yeah, I mean, but you did see... Like, Kawhi Leonard... How do you judge a really good basketball player by how he makes the other team what he does to the other players? So he elevated everybody.
Yeah,
and like Siakam was Siakam was unbelievable. Yeah. He was unbelievable.
Kawhi.
And if you think that that Leonard didn't have anything to do with it, I mean, he was right. I mean, I don't take anything away from Siakam. He's unbelievable. How impressive is that guy?
Well, so I want to go.
Third year hadn't played, and like
they've done a great job of drafting up and
unreal.
So we talked about the Raptors. Now let's go a little bit downhill.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. About the Toronto Blue Jays. But before we talk about the Toronto Blue Jays, you were also a part of the Toronto Phantoms.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That was a trip down
memory lane. Yes. Yeah, no. Honestly,
I remember going into a Skydome.
That's where I met. That's where we met.
Yeah.
That's where I met you.
Yeah.
20 long,
years
ago. Oh my God!
Yeah.
20 years. Was that 20 years ago?
When was the
Yeah, 2001. 2000. Yeah, 2001.
The Phantom, if I'm not mistaken, the corporate owners, it was lingerie. Isn't that what they made?
Yeah, it was. Someone mentioned it. We were talking about it. It was Phantom.
No, that's true, Joe.
Industries or something like that.
Yeah,
it was,
they made women's lingerie.
Ron Strasser.
Strasser. Yeah.
I think it was him. Him and Rob Godfrey were the two guys that put that team.
Yeah,
they got that team in Paul.
I know.
So like that's how I started. That's how I got started.
So now let me ask you, the Phantoms.
Joe and I were there every week.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that's where I met Joe. I remember that. Yeah.
Okay. So Phantoms logo.
Yeah.
What did they do with that? Because logos.
I don't know, man.
Well, once the team disappeared, so does the logo.
Honestly, like, can you equate the Phantoms up and coming? People were, at the Canada Centre at the time.
Yeah.
People were coming to now the Wolfpack, right?
Yeah.
So you were part of two. Semi-big things coming to Toronto, right?
There's comparisons there. There's more comparisons there than there are with the Blue Jays. Like the Phantoms were, like, staff of 8 people?
Yeah.
Same here. Same with the Wolfpack. It's a staff of 10 people who work around the clock because... And you know what the good thing is? When you have a staff of 8 people as opposed to 250 like I had with the Blue Jays, the stuff you do really matters. Like, people really know what you're doing, and the impact you make is really felt. Like, everyone knows. Yeah. Like, if you did this happened because of this person, or this happened because of these two people. You know what I mean? Like, and you have to think outside the box. Like, you have to be really good at things. With the Blue Jays, you have all this money you can just spend on anything. I'll just buy this. I'll just buy that. But when you're in a small thing, you really have to think outside the box and be creative on how you spend because you don't have a marketing budget at all.
So, why do you think, if they were, let's say, here... After 10 years or whatever, why do you think it didn't work out? I think they folded after
the Phantoms folded after 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years.
They couldn't draw big enough crowds.
That's it.
Very simple.
That's really what it comes down to.
Well, if they played in a smaller arena instead of Air Canada Centre, do you think they'll still be around?
Phantoms.
If they played at Rico Coliseum,
too hard to say.
They're playing when it's already cold, though.
Too hard to say.
Okay.
Yeah, it's tough to answer that one.
But arena football was, people.
Yeah, it was big in the States, right?
Don't just look at the Argos, okay? Because then you apply the same mentality. Well, it's not the NFL.
Yeah.
End of story.
Yeah. You know what's funny? Like, the Argos and, like, CFL and arena football, it's like the best players that played in their high school. Like, they're the best players in their town, best players. And that's how hard it is to make the NFL.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah. Right? Those are the super players. Like, do that or play in Europe.
Yeah. Really. And that's like, actually, hockey's the same.
Yeah.
Guys at the junior level dominate. Their age group, but then at the NHL, everybody dominated their age group, so you're going against guys who are just as good or better than you.
Absolutely.
That's all the tough part.
Let's talk about, you mentioned you worked for the Toronto Blue Jays or whatever. 2 years you're gone, right?
My last year was 17. The end of 17.
It's basically 2 years, okay? Yeah. So we're not talking about Shapiro, whatever you want to talk, Atkins, and all that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, as an outsider now, is this the worst Blue Jay team since you've been around? You've been around 20 years, right?
Look, yes. Worst Blue Jay team?
The only team that had record was the 1980 team, I think.
Yeah.
In terms of losses.
Yeah. But, like,
maybe the expansion team.
If you're going to look, I had to watch every game because I worked there, right? So I don't really have a choice. So if I'm going to have to sit and watch 3 hours of baseball every single night, if it was going to be a team that lost, how many games did they lose this year?
96.
Okay, so they lost 96 games. I'd rather watch a 96 loss with Vladimir Guerrero and Bo Bichette and Biggio and Gurriel. And, like, I'd rather watch that than just a bunch of, like, literally, like, what do you call those stopgap guys? Like, veteran players just to get through a year and save your money, blah, blah, blah.
The problem is they'll be doing the same thing unless they get some major pitching upgrade.
Yeah. I mean,
and, you know, they
want whatever else
a home run derby, but they're not winning games.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's the problem.
You're listening and watching Ken Wenna, Radio.tv, part of the Barnburner Network here on Barnburner Live with Heather Tulle, Storm, and Norm Rumack, the broadcasting legend, and Eric Grossman, Director of Media Relations for Toronto Wolfpack. We'll be back in about 2 minutes with another special guest, Mark Swolinski from the Toronto. Are you staying with us, Eric?
I'll stay for a little bit.
All right. So Mark Swolinski will be calling in. So we'll be back in 2 minutes. Bernardo? Okay, we're back here on Barnburner Live, Kewana Radio.tv, part of Barnburner Network, with Heather Tulle, broadcasting legend Storm and Norm Rumack, and Eric Grossman, Director of Media Relations for Toronto Wolfpack. We're joined by Toronto Star's own Mark Swolinski. Mark, are you there?
I am here, sir.
All right. So before we start, Heather wants to do a special shout-out, so go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to do a special shout-out to Gabriel Hedrick and the Bowmanville Talons Junior Boys Soccer Team. Gabriel invited me to their Monday afternoon game, which they pulled out a 7-2 win over Curtis Secondary School. The team got out there, and they worked well together, and they pulled off a great win. I also want to recognize two players of the match for their contributions. Sam, who's a guy like half the size of everybody else on the soccer pitch. He's really small, but he got out there and, you know, he just, his determination and his speed really counted, not to mention that got him 2 goals to his name. And also Kinga, I'm not sure if I'm saying your name right, but Kinga, you got some great footwork going on, ball handling skills that definitely helped get the team in position to set up for some great plays. So congrats, guys. Gabriel, thanks for the invite, and Bowmanville Talons, do your thing.
Yes, and by the way, we're also going to be talking in the next few minutes about Storm and Norman's first date in 39 years. Yeah. All right, Mark, you hear that? Yeah. His first date in 39 years. Yeah. Do you have to say anything about that, Mark?
Well, Mark, you know what, Joe, there's always a little drama.
All right,
or a
maybe,
lot
it's
of drama. 20,
maybe it's 29 years, all right. Yeah, but, yeah, Mark, what did you think of that, hearing that Norm on a date for 39 years?
Well, seeing Mark's known me for about 40 years, I'm sure he's very happy.
All I can say, she's a lucky girl.
The check's in the mail, Mark.
All right, Mark, we're going to start talking about Major League Baseball, currently in the playoffs here. I'm going to ask you, straight out of the box, your pick for World Series. Give me your World Series matchup.
You always do this to me, and I'm sometimes at a loss for words, but after watching, I haven't covered a lot of baseball at the start of this year, but when I covered it, I covered Tampa a lot, saw them last night, and I really like them, and I would, if I had $1,000 or whatever, I'd put it on them right now for the World Series.
Wow. You're telling me they're going to beat Houston?
I think they're going to beat everybody.
Wow.
I just like the way they play ball. I like the way they, like we all know, they incorporate, analytics with skill. You look at the trades they've made, especially that one with the Pirates for Archer. What they get out of their players, they change the lineups, they do, neat things with their pitching staff. I like them, and that's what I would do.
So, Mark, let me ask you this. We're joined by Eric Grossman, formerly of the Toronto Blue Jays. You've been to the Blue Jays this year. What were the changes, or have there been any changes for the last 2 years since Eric left the Blue Jays? Has it gone downhill, or is it okay? Come on, Mark, I'm putting you on the spot.
Mark, you can tell the truth, man. It's okay.
I'm a fan of Eric, and everything went downhill after he left. We did get Rich Griffin in there, our star contract. at least there's a guy there with some heart and soul and with some experience in there, and you know, a lot of us are very happy.
Hey man, I would have fought for that that press box being in the left field. I would have, if I were still there, that would never have happened. I'm kidding.
You know,
I'm kidding.
It was hard to get used to that, Eric. But
yeah.
After a while, like the overall quality of it, and like with the food and everything, it was an upgrade. And
oh, that's good.
I think Steve is retiring. You know, Steve.
Yeah, of course.
Media dining room.
Yeah.
So we're all signed a card and got him just a shout out to him. He's been doing it for
years. Oh yeah.
Hold on. Did Norm sign the card? Norm made the most.
Yeah, I'm the reason why the food went from being free to $5 to $7 to $12. Because
true.
I used to empty the hot dog tray in one.
No, that's true. Your plate, no one put more on their plate than you did.
In fact, my colleague Mike Hogan, who's with the Toronto Argonauts, his nickname for me was Plate with Feet.
Yeah. That's very true. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact,
it's a true story.
In fact, they had a special rule for the Leafs and the Raptors at the Air Canada Center, the Bell Media dining room, where they had to put up a sign that said, for the pizza, I used to take an entire, like the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
And he had put up a sign, only 2 slices per person, please.
Yeah, so right. Everyone's like, you got to get there before Norm.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right, Mark, let's talk about the Blue Jays this year. What do you think? Obviously, where are they going to get the pitching from in the offseason?
Well, I don't think this year's actually a very good year to spend money on pitching via free agency, because everybody who's available, minus Gerrit Cole, is, 30-plus in age. So I don't think that's the kind of guy, there's probably some good pitchers there, but I don't think that's the type of player they're looking for, given the rebuild that they're in. Trades is one way to do it, and again, look at what Tampa's done with trades. That trade for Archer might be the best trade in the last 10 or 15 years in baseball, period. That is an incredible trade. I'm not saying the Blue Jays could do one like that, but I would look for them to do that, like in terms of starting pitching, that is, via the trade. And next year, is the year, that there's going to be some prime names available. I just think they've got to develop. This is what everybody in every sport is doing, is developing, and they've got some key people down there, Pearson, Manoa. Those are the last 2 first round picks. They're both big right-handed pitchers who throw hard. Get them going, get them ready. I know Pearson's supposed to be here at some point. I think Pearson this year is going to be a watch on him for 2020, the way there was a watch on for Vladdy last year. When is he going to be in the major league? We'll see in spring training, but I think that's what you have to do. They're gonna, you're gonna have to lose a lot of games next year, and then, but still show some improvement pitching wise, and then just build from there.
Okay, so Mark, 2 points. It's incredible to me, and this is already going back a couple of decades, and it's still incredible now. We're talking about the Tampa Bay Rays in the postseason, a team that is almost religiously had the 3rd lowest payroll in Major League Baseball, or hovers around that mark. It may vary slightly, but basically they're on the 3rd lowest payroll. And you look what they've done, and I'll admit, I thought it's mostly at the time Joe Maddon, what he's done, and some of the key executives. But they lost a lot of those executives, as moved here and there and everywhere, and including Joe Maddon, who went on to win a World Series with the Cubs. And yet here, the Rays once again in the postseason, and again, I'll bet without even looking, they're probably around 3rd from the bottom in payroll. And, I'm sure for Blue Jay fans, and there's, a city that struggles to get any kind of a fan base, and it's amazing what they do through scouting, player development, and as you mentioned, very smart transactions. How even when they don't make the playoffs, last year they were competitive until, middle or late August? I think it's one of the most amazing organizations that doesn't get credit only because it's so hard for them to get the fans out. But what they do with their players and putting on a competitive team is absolutely remarkable.
Absolutely. Norm, you've hit it right on the head. And this season, they dropped their payroll $16 million from last year.
Wow.
I mean, what can you say about that? Like, if I lived anywhere near there, I would be buying season tickets. Hands down, just to go see, what the state of the art thinking is in the game. I'm not saying, I would pick them for the World Series because I'm just a firm believer in what they do. I mean, everybody's favoring the Dodgers. But regardless of that, the type of baseball that they play, being competitive, the way they use players, executives, everybody is doing something right. I pay money to see that.
Yeah, and just one other thing I'll throw it in. I've talked about this with Joe and other people. I think with the Blue Jays, where they went wrong, why they struggled. I mean, yes, they've got some great prospects, home run hitters, but the reason they had to go back down to rock bottom is I think they held on to some of those previous stars. I'll leave Josh Donaldson out of that conversation, but I think, you know, they should have moved Jose Bautista a lot earlier. And I kind of wonder, I'll just throw this out there because I don't know. I don't talk to the current ownership. I don't talk to the current management. But I kind of wonder if, because, you know, there's a lot of fans wondering about Atkins and Shapiro, et cetera, and how effective they are. Shapiro's former team is doing well and has done well for several years in Cleveland. I kind of wonder if maybe, and it's a maybe, when I see things like that, players being held on to, sometimes there's whispers from ownership to management like, well, you can't move that player because he's popular with the fans and he sells tickets. Would you guess, because I can only guess, would you guess that those things sometimes go on?
Absolutely. I mean, Jim Fregosi, God rest his soul, used to say baseball isn't dead in Toronto, it's just dormant. Yeah. You put star players, and then if you put star players in the field, you put people in the seats. That was his theory, that was his equation, and he's right. Because after they failed to make the playoffs after, I think it was 2017 yet,
yeah.
What was their attendance figure from there? Did they hit the 3 million mark? I think they were top for second in the American League.
Yeah, 3.5.
For a last place team that had superstars in the lineup. Yeah. There's your equation, and you're absolutely right, Norm. That, if I'm ownership, I'm happy with the payroll. If I'm seeing attendance like that, yeah, I'm less money in the bank, right? Even for a last place team, they got to be laughing. That just for that particular year, they had to be laughing because not only are you packing the place, or at least you're hitting 3 million in attendance, or if they came close, I think I'd have to look. I think they surpassed 3 million, mm-hmm. but you're also making money off swag. Now, I mean, if you go down to that park back in those days.
Yeah,
30 deep at the cash register buying Blue Jays swag.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Money in the bank.
The only problem with that, though, is, you know, to rebuild, and this applies to every pro sport, as you guys know and fans know, you've got, if you want to rebuild a team on the fly, you've got to move guys a year or two ahead of their expiry date to get the maximum in return. I think the Blue Jays, if they had been a little bit more active in that area, and I understand, yeah, it's dollars and cents, and you're right, they want to sell merchandise, get fannies in the seats, but if you want to rebuild a team, you got to move guys while they're still exciting to the team you're moving them to get those kind of prospects to do a big rebuild.
Yeah, I agree. They're probably a year behind in that process. They weren't decisive enough. They had to look at and at least see that they had Vladdy and Bo coming and what the future was going to look like. Like, I'm not paid to do that, but even I could see that, and you're absolutely right to see it that way, too. There was a lack of decisiveness there. You know, they pooched Encarnacion. They admit that themselves. When they should have kept in, and they gave him 2 weeks to make a decision on that contract. But after that, they were a step behind, and it led to them being actually a year behind. And, you know, we're seeing the fallout from that now.
All right, scoreboard update, seventh inning NLDS. Josh Donaldson has an RBI, and the Atlanta Braves lead the Cardinals 3-1. They're, of course, the second game. Washington's being played at 9 o'clock with L.A. All right, Mark, I want to take it away from baseball a little bit and go. You attended the Maple Leafs home. Norm's favorite topic, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Maple Leafs home opener. I got to ask you, what's your idea or what's your opinion on the new captain of the Toronto Maple Leafs? And before Austin Matthews grew that porn stash, would he be the captain right now if he didn't get in trouble?
He would be. He was a captain last year. They had that sewn up. They just didn't think he was ready for it. Lifestyle choice there. It's unfortunate. I would... really, if I was them, start asking him to look at his friends, because clearly they're enabling him, and he was 21 at the time, he's 22 now. I'm sure we can all remember back that far,
long
far for me. I'm having a little unclear than like I think the last time I was, or when I was 22, gas. That my when I was 22, that was the same price of gas. 22. But nonetheless, they claimed that they had, it wasn't Matthews that it was. Well, that Tavares was their choice. We could talk a lot of stuff off the record here about what really went on there, and it's kind of just typical of you know, when you have three very strong people in control of the organization, the coach, the GM, and the president, that there's going to be a difference in opinions. But
all right, go off the record, Mark. Go off the record. Come on, I'm not going to get you in trouble. Do you want me to say it then? If you're not going to say it, do you want me to say it? All right, I'll say it, okay? Why didn't Jason Spezza play his first game in a Maple Leaf uniform against his former team? Do you want to tell everybody why?
Well, it was an FU thing to between the coach and the GM.
But is that the same reason why they did not give the C to Matthews? Is it the mustache? Is that the why?
Well, the underwear pants incident really sealed it for him, because like there's no rebounding from that, right? I would honestly would really have liked to see Matthews as captain. He has changed, you know, like regardless of what happened, he is much better spoken this year. He has worked harder. I just, you know, like you would tend to think that based on what happened, that what I'm saying is you wouldn't believe it. He's going to have a hugely successful year if he can stay healthy and if he stays driven, and he seems to be very driven. And like if you watched the Connor McDavid interview last night, they asked Connor, what's one player that who opens your eyes in the NHL? What's the one player who impresses you the most? He said Matthews. That's Connor McDavid, who, to me, there's Connor McDavid and everyone else is a distant second in the NHL or in any league in the world.
So
I have them. So I just would have liked to see Matthews be captain. The fact that it's Tavares, that is a no-brainer. That is, that's the best possible outcome. And let's face it, they had to get that right. They got it right. And at the same time, by not having any press, like any interviews or any press conferences about it, they took the focus off Matthews, put it on Tavares. It's a one-day story. Let's move on to see, everybody's sick of it anyways. Move on. Tavares is the guy. Let's go and try and win a Stanley Cup.
Do you think that Tavares can feel as proud as when he got named captain of the Islanders? Do you think he can feel as proud now as that? Or do you think that the whole Auston Matthews debacle kind of taints that feeling of deserving it?
I think that's a great question, but I think the answer is yes, he can feel proud of that. And I think they did it in a truly personal and I guess the lack of a better word, an emotional and a sweet way, by having his son with the C on and inviting him in the office there. I think you saw that video.
Yeah.
Tavares is a no-brainer. And like when I wrote about it last week, I called him Captain Obvious because he just can't make a mistake. It's just too obvious. The guy, if I could take that one step further in your question, the guy who I would wonder about his feelings and feeling the same about anything is Matthews now. I think he's old. He's got to swallow what he did, and including in a second bitter pill is not getting the captaincy. But he's his own person, right? Like the coach and the GM can sit there and say it's our job now to make him a better player and a better person. But he's his own person. He's 22 years old. You got to get that right. You got the captaincy right, fine. That was an easy one. Now get Matthews right. That's the hard one.
And furthermore, Matthews was going to be named the captain. He was the poster boy. He's still the cover boy of NHL 20. They were going to put the captaincy, but let's not talk about that anymore. It's over. It's done with. Let's talk about the season. Maple Leafs winning their first game 5-3 over the Senators, or like Norm says, the Trojans.
Same logo as a famous company.
Yeah. Too bad Norm hasn't used one since 19. Never mind.
How do you know, Joe?
That's what you told me. All right, so let's talk about what do you think the Maple Leafs prospects are. Obviously, everybody wants to win the Stanley Cup. We talked about the Raptors winning the NBA championship. Do you think they get past round one? Forget about round four. Do you think they win a round this year?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, do you think they win round two?
Yeah, once they get rolling, I think they're a final 14. They right now, you would like I would be as shocked right now if they didn't go Final Four this year as I was last year when Tampa got bounced in the first round. Now, having said that, when Tampa got bounced, that shows you, like, again and again in sports, all the years all of us have been watching sports, you can't live long enough to say you've seen everything. But I lived to see that. We all saw that. That I don't know about you guys. That to me was maybe the biggest upset I've seen. A team that was so good.
Yeah.
The fourth best season all time in the NHL. 100 years, 101 years, 102 years this year.
Yeah.
Anyways, anything can happen, right? But if the Leafs aren't a Final Four team this year, there's something wrong.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, maybe the closest analogy to Tampa Bay getting knocked out might go back to Mark, the Red Wings of 93-94, who on paper and in terms of scoring stats were that good. But it turns out, you know, with Red Wing management, they were about a player away. And then they did get things straightened out. And, of course, they became a dynasty not too long after that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mark, what do you think is the biggest challenge the Maple Leafs face this year? Is it the defense? Because the offense is amazing.
I think, as it is with baseball and pitching, so it goes in hockey with goaltending. You keep that guy right, you keep him healthy. It's a daily thing. I think Freddie's really ready to do something special this year, but he's the guy. And that goes with any team. You know, you look at the last two Stanley Cup winners. When did Washington turn it around and really become, you know, serious in that final after that Holtby save? Biddington made a similar save last year in the Cup Final, and the Blues took off after that, and they knew they were going to beat Boston after that. There was just no coming back. That's what goaltending is. That's what I would, just like off the cuff, right off the top of my bald head here, say that that is, you know, priority number one.
So I'm going to put you on the spot again, okay? You know what I'm going to ask? I'm putting you on the spot. Give me your Stanley Cup pick.
Dang. Winnipeg Jets.
Are you? I think you lost more hair or what? Winnipeg Jets?
I can't lose any more hair.
Okay, well, Winnipeg against who?
I don't know. Wouldn't it be great if it was against the Leafs?
Take it over, Norm. Yeah. Mark,
I got to ask you. Just
come on. You guys. Okay, what's your pick?
Yeah.
Mark, the Maple Leafs.
Yeah. No, Mark, I was just going to get you to extrapolate a little bit on that. Like, everybody, the commonality of thought is that, well, Winnipeg lost a couple of stud players in the offseason. Why do you think they can recover from that?
I just think it's a situation where the players they lost, yes, they're key. And they're, you know, it's key. Does have, you know, it's the blue line. They were deep enough. They should have won the Cup last year. There's two teams that should have won the Cup last year. Winnipeg is one, Dallas is the other. When you look at Dallas, they lost two overtime games to St. Louis. And at the BioSteel camp a month ago down at, actually they moved it over to Varsity Arena. Mm-hmm. We were talking to Tyler Seguin, and off the record, they were burning all summer. They thought they had the Cup. That's another team I might actually put money on. But I like Winnipeg. I like size. Still don't know what the hell's going on with Bufflin or whatever the deal is. At least I'm not up to date on that yet. But they still have size, talent. Again, goaltending is going to be a factor there. I just like them. I think they're going to be a very, very strong contender out there. And they have what it takes to go around. Their top six, to me, are ground in, tough, and, you know, hard to play against as anybody in the league. I think that's going to carry them. That's just my my opinion, my view. But I'm also pretty partial to Paul Maurice. He's a good friend of mine. So I like the way he coaches, and I think he's got something there this year that they can turn over.
Yeah, and I think you're talking about the big upset last year, Tampa Bay. I think the Lightning, led by Stephen Stamkos, I think there's going to be a big bounce back. I can only imagine, what it would have been like for him in particular as being the franchise with the Bolts, what it was like for him this offseason. He must have been going nuts just thinking about that.
He's been going nuts for 3 years. 3 years ago, they had a meeting, and that was the year Kucherov was two summers ago or three? I think it was two summers ago. Kucherov did not go home. He stayed in Tampa, rented the ice every day to work out over the summer, and then he went on to have that MVP year. And they still lost. They had a meeting. They were all there in August. Every single player reported early in August, had a meeting, and they set the mission to win the cup then. That was before last year happened, when they went out in the first round. So again, anything can happen. And I can't sit here and say, oh, I'm going to deny Tampa. That's stupid. That is a monster team that should win it. And again, anybody who has any sense would put money on it right now. Take the odds or whatever and try and make more money as the year goes around. Parlay some bets on that. But I still like Winnipeg. I just think they got a lot of strength and character. I think they've been through a lot as well. I think they're ready to pounce.
I got one more question about hockey, okay? One more question about hockey. All right. Let's the Maple Leafs, let's compare it to the Raptors winning the championship. How big do you think, if the Maple Leafs ever win the championship, how big do you think it will be?
Ooh, another great question. And it's so hard to actually, this conversation was coming up. The moment the Raptors won, you saw all those millions, I don't know what the crowd was, a million people, 2 million, yeah. I couldn't put a number on it. But the people in the hockey circles were saying, what would it be like if the Leafs won? And they're all thinking it would be as big, if not bigger. I can't imagine anything bigger than that. I did not go down to it, but my wife went down to it, and she said it was one of the greatest things she's ever seen in her life, just in terms of a sea of people, and just like overwhelming, sea of humanity celebrating that. The Leafs, I'm sure, would have something just as big. And I guess part of the reason is that, when we're in this newspaper business here, and you guys are in your business, and we're all in the media business, I don't know what drives your listeners or your readers or your viewers, but I know what drives stories at the Toronto Star. It's Leafs. Like, I can, on any given day, I can be one of the top five, top three most read writers in the place, according to our analytics or just our clicks. That's what it boils down to. And it's not me. It's got nothing to do with me. It's got everything to do with the fact that people are just consuming Leafs. They want to read stories about them. They want to see them on TV. So it kind of fosters and then it just sparks this belief, that because it gets so much attention in our business, that it would just exponentiate itself into a huge celebration if they won the Stanley Cup. I don't know. I don't know if it would be bigger than the Raptors. I'm sure it would be just as big. Once it gets that big, it's overwhelming one way you look at it or the other. Just there probably wouldn't be any comparison and no need to compare it. I guess that's what I mean.
Would you, Mark, it's Eric here. Would you say with that question that Joe asked, because basketball is not our sport per se, you know what I mean? Like, it being the only Canadian team in the league, do you think that plays into something in there? You know what I mean? Like, as far as how big it gets? Because, the Leafs, there's other Canadian teams as well. It would be massive. I don't think anyone would ever say that. But what do you think to that? Like, the Raptors being the only team, only Canadian team in that sport, and the basketball was never really our sport,
But that's changing with the demographics and the country changing in terms of people who've migrated from all over where basketball is bigger than hockey. So I think that's, Mark, I think that's part of what we saw downtown is folks, youngsters, families from a much different demographic somewhat different. I'd say it's much different demographic than what the Maple Leafs have. Yeah. Do you go along with that?
I do, because 7 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago, the Leafs and Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment had a study of the fan base of the Leafs and the fan base of the Raptors. I can't remember exactly what the dynamic of it was, but they said at that time that within 10 years of that time, they better start worrying about Leaf fans and the Leaf fan base because the city's changing, as you say, demographically, and that the people who are currently making up the population, hockey's not their first game.
Or they grew up in countries where hockey's not even watched. And basketball is either first or second and just behind football or soccer, depending on what you want to call it, or cricket, let's say.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I still think if the Leafs won this year, it would be huge.
It'll definitely be huge.
I'm not saying it wouldn't be huge, but I'm just saying basketball is catching up. And probably, I'm going to guess on the youth level, I'll take a guess on the youth level, that basketball and soccer are close to matching or superseding hockey in terms of participation. In fact, I expect that they're way ahead by now. And it's certainly the expense of hockey is a big factor.
Well, look at that Wexford Hockey Association in Scarborough sold it 2 years ago.
Wow, I didn't even know about
enough,
that.
You know.
Yeah.
There you go. That, as you know, Norman, you and I have been around for such a long time.
Yeah.
How far does that Wexford organization go?
Wexford, it's legendary, going back to when we were all kids. Legendary.
Absolutely. It goes back to the days of the dinosaurs. It's done.
Yeah.
So Mark, because they can't get enough enrollment.
Yeah, and I think there's two things. I think, A, the cost of hockey. B, I think, I may be wrong because I don't have kids. I mean, Heather has kids. Joe is a kid. Eric has kids. I kind of wonder how many folks are worried about the ongoing stories, and they grow every day, about concussion. And a concussion isn't any more about getting a stick over your head. It's not about that at all. It's about the jarring movement. And I don't know what you hear, guys, but I think parents are getting really worried about that, and legitimately so.
Let's ask Heather. Heather, are you concerned with, you have two boys, so.
No, because there's a lot more protocols, and the equipment's a lot different than what they had way back then, right? From when we were small, or God knows when you were small.
Three-piece helmet, the Gretzky style, yeah.
Leather.
There's a lot of different things put in there. So that concussion thing for a parent, to me, I think is more so when it comes to football. I've never considered that when it came to hockey or something like that with my kids. I don't know. It would also help if my big son wanted to do that.
Well, I mean, as far as like how rough the sport is and everything like that, because, yeah. I mean, just for me, my oldest is six, so that's all I have to work with here, but it's easy for me, he has a basketball, it's easy for me just to get the basketball, go to any net around there. If it was hockey, that's a whole different story. It's
the expense is
a
whole moment.
I have to go get, you know.
And then you got to rent
it's just
the
too
ice.
Easy. You got to rent
traveling
yeah.
expense. All
it's
that.
Just too easy to grab a basketball or a soccer ball. It's just too easy.
Mark, I got to ask you this, because we touched on this. Is there infighting between the coach and GM of the Maple Leafs?
Well, there's two ways to answer that. I think there is, and I think it would have to be in a healthy relationship. Is it become more on a personal level? I mean, you hear all kinds of things on that. And this offseason, yeah, there seem to be whispers of that, rumors of that, from some very well-placed people. Not, you know, and I'm trying to spread something out of my own knowledge base, which pales in comparison to some of these people. But yeah, that was the talk, a lot of talk this summer, especially in June.
Yeah, Mark, I'm just going to add to that. I don't think it's surprising. I don't think it's a new story. I'm just going to put it in a more general level beyond Toronto. And I'm going to say, I think there are more than a couple of franchises where you have hockey people who go back generations, who've won long before the advent of the stats people came along. And I think there's a philosophical battle that goes on between the old school hockey, the eyeball test for scouts and analysts and GMs, and the more modern, you know, using all the stats, which, you know, by the way, some baseball teams, i.e. Tampa Bay, have done very well incorporating the stats with the eyeball test. But I remember even Pat Gillick, you know, when he was still, you know, moved on to Philadelphia and Toronto, I remember I talked to him once and said, yes, the stats are important, but the generation that he grew up in, and I'm sure this would apply to Scotty Bowman and maybe Mr. Coach Babcock, you know, they say, well, the stats are important. There's nothing that can really make up or equate to the eyeball test, like seeing the player in person, whether they're pro or amateur. What do you think?
Absolutely. And you mentioned Pat Gillick. Pat Gillick, when he signed a player, or was thinking of signing a player as a free agent, and of course, you know, they would turn their scouts loose on and put together all kinds of information and opinions and whatever. What he based his final decision on was he'd go to his best scout, or the scout who was closest to that player, had seen him the most, and said, answer me one question, but write it out for me. Is this guy a winner?
Yeah.
Great question. Prove it to me, then I'll sign him.
All right, Mark, so let me ask you this. Eric's here now working for Toronto Wolfpack. You want to watch a winner? You want to watch a championship? This Saturday, Toronto Wolfpack is in the championship final there. Mark, are the Toronto Stars sending anybody to the Toronto Wolfpack championship game, and Eric's got to give me $20 for this. Okay, go ahead.
I think Morgan Campbell's going.
You got it,
Morgan,
man.
Has been covering it on and off. I don't. You would know better than I would.
Yeah, you got it. No, you bang on.
All right, Mark. You talk about the Wolfpack for 1 second. Look at the Wolfpack. They're 26-1 this year. The stadium is called the Den and all that. Can you believe there's two rugby teams in Toronto, Toronto Wolfpack, Toronto Arrows, and not Blue Jays, I don't know if they existed this year. The Argos, it looks like they didn't exist. Can you believe the day has come that there's two rugby teams and, let's say, the Argos sort of phasing out?
Yeah, I feel bad for the Argos that way. You know, I was covering them periodically on and off for the past 2 years. This year, haven't been out once. We let the wires do it. And I understand the way newspapers work. I understand what costs are. I understand you're driven to get subscriptions online because your paper product really is dead in the water. I know the business is hurting. And I understand why they're going to turn their attention to, the big three, Raptors, Jays, Leafs. However, you guys raise an excellent point. Because, one, you got a team that's in the championship. I'll bet you could go in a mall and ask 50 people and say, did you know that? And I'll bet you more than half of them wouldn't have an idea.
Yeah.
And I'll bet you there's way more than half of them.
Yeah.
And that comes only because your daily papers, your TV shows really don't cover them.
Yeah.
They don't. And again, we understand why. And we can go on about that forever. But, yeah, you guys do. And you know what? We all should. And that's to me, is like part of, a pet peeve about the way the business has become.
Yeah.
Because, when I first started, I wrote about university sports.
Right.
I wrote about the Marlies under the Ballard era every day.
Yeah.
They had room for it. And it was read and it was consumed. And David Grossman made a career out of covering high school sports.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had huge readership out of that. That's all gone with the wind. That's Clark Gable and Vivian Lee, man. Gone with the wind. It's all over.
All right. That's one of the best. Mark Swolinski for the Toronto Star here on that Kawena Radio.TV part of the Barn Burner Network, Barn Burner Live. Let's go around the table. Any last questions for Mark? Start off with Norm.
No, I don't really have any last questions. I think we made all the points. But, Mark, just hockey-wise, okay, Vegas was 2 years ago, was the classic sleeper team. There's nobody in their right mind in hockey, out of hockey, or on the moon or on Mars that picked that. So that was one of the ultimate sleeper surprise teams of all time. All right, so setting aside Vegas, is there any team like that this year in the National Hockey League who people, while focusing on Toronto or the reigning champs St. Louis or, as you mentioned, Winnipeg, you could always throw Boston into the conversation, of course, or
Dallas,
who knows?
Stars.
Yeah, Dallas Stars. Oh, the Dallas Stars are your sleeper?
That's
who
I would say keep an eye on.
Okay.
I would definitely say keep an eye on them.
All right.
Eric, go ahead.
Yeah, Mike, one question is back to the Rays, the Tampa Bay Rays. Mark, are you surprised that more people aren't making a bigger deal about this thing? Because this has been going on for a while, and now we're in two different regimes now. Everyone thought it was Andrew Friedman, and it probably was, and Joe Maddon, but they're gone, and the same thing's still happening. Like, I don't even know where to start, like how you explain what they're doing, but do you find that there's not enough attention about this? Like, it almost sounds...
Yeah,
I think it should be a huge deal.
Other than me, no one's talking about the Rays.
I think it should be a huge deal what they're doing in the American League East. In the American League East.
Great point, Eric. I would follow Mark Topkin.
Yeah.
He's a guy who covers them.
Yeah.
Just follow him on Twitter.
Yeah.
There's some really, really bloody good writers
okay.
in baseball, as there is in hockey.
I'll follow him, yeah.
And Toppy's one of those guys. And you can, follow him and just read, if he tweets his stories out there, you can grab him for free right off your phone.
Yeah, I will.
Worth reading. And he, locally,
mm-hmm.
I think our baseball coverage here in Toronto is exceptional.
Yeah.
I think there's some really excellent people here. This year, especially, a lot of new people. And it just seems so...
What I was trying to get at, sorry, Mark, was like the more the national, like Tompkins amazing, but like more on the national level, like your ESPNs, your Sport Illustrated, someone trying to uncover this mystery. Don't you find it a mystery in the American League East with the lowest payroll in the league? They got to play the Yankees and Red Sox 40 times a year in their schedule where nobody else has to, and they're still winning. They won 90, I think they won 90 games last year.
96.
And they didn't even make the playoffs because the Red Sox won the World Series.
It would almost go back to just before Joe Maddon started around 2006. Like, I think, Mark, it's a little bit of what we were talking about earlier. There's scouting and player development. It's probably the only one who I put on a par and is a much different situation. It's quite the opposite, money and tradition. I'd say Tampa Bay and the St. Louis Cardinals are probably neck and neck. And now the Yankees, since you know the younger Steinbrenners took over, they're probably the top of the heap, those three clubs, at scouting and player development. Do you agree? Did I get the right ones?
Absolutely, because I was going to say the Cardinals and join you in that opinion because they are a class organization.
Yeah.
They don't leave any stone unturned. That is a baseball city. It's packed all the time. Whenever I cover, I don't travel anymore, unfortunately, because of the business, but when we used to travel a couple of years ago and when the Jays went there, that you were in a baseball city and it was so much different. It's like, you know, this is a hockey city, obviously, but there was something even different down there. Minnesota's kind of neat that way, too, because of the Twins. There's something there about baseball that's different. Like Tampa's, you know, Tampa's Florida's hot, and it's, you know, it's a vacation destination. But I'm with Eric. I would love to see like a real deep dive,
like an expose, like a whole feature thing on it. Like, what the hell are they doing?
I'm sure there's one out there. I'm sure there's one out there. And you know,
I might have missed it.
I'm gonna bump my wife off her computer when I can. And I'm gonna actually look for one myself because I find it that interesting.
It's crazy.
I'm trying to sound like a moron here.
No, it's crazy.
I really would like to go
Mark,
and do something tonight on it.
Players aren't good until they get there, and players who are good there leave, and they're not anymore.
Or they move
Who's
them.
Look at the guy who hit the two home. What's his name again? The guy who hit the two home runs last night.
Yeah.
They took him off a scrap heap or something,
right,
didn't they?
Right.
Or he was ineffective. He couldn't hit the ball out of his hands or something like that. Here he is. He's one of their key.
Yeah. I mean, Archer was, when I was working in baseball, I was into it, and I have kind of lost it a little bit, but Archer was one of the best pitchers in the American League in pitching the American League East. Again, making all those starts against the Yankees, Red Sox, and even when the Jays were really good. He goes from there with an ERA under 3, which is unheard of for the American League East. He goes to the National League for Pittsburgh. You think he should be even better because you're playing against, you know, the offenses aren't as strong, and he's worse, right?
Yeah.
Like, much worse, isn't he?
Yeah, he's not the same guy.
Not the same guy. I guess that's my point. Not the same guy.
Do you remember going down to Tampa, and sometimes you would see Archer outside the stadium with the trainer, running with pens and tubes, and it was hot, and he was dripping sweat. Then he'd go pitch against the game. I mean, I'm an Archer fan here. I love the guy.
Oh, he's great.
And talking to him, I never really got to, like, sit down and with him, but I'm a fan. But they saw something and look what they got in return.
Mark,
unbelievable!
You hear the phone ringing. That is Phil Zullo calling. He wants to know when you're coming in for training because he sees Norm with his guns. He pulled out his guns here and showing everybody his muscles for that. Yeah, I think Norm's date is watching this on TV here. So, but Mark, any final thoughts here? Pleasure to have you on as always. One of the best in Toronto Star and in Toronto, Mark Swilinski. Any final thoughts?
Well, you're always too kind to me, but I appreciate that. And as always, I just want to wish the best to you, your staff, everybody there for having me on, and to all your listeners and viewers. I hope everything's great and everybody's healthy and drive safe.
All right, that's
good talking to you, Mark.
Mark Swilinski from the Toronto Star, one of the best. Thanks a lot, Mark. Appreciate it. One of the best, Mark Swilinski here. And now we're going to close this out with talking. Everybody wants to know. Everybody wants to know, Norm. You pulled out the guns. Everybody wants to know. We got like 5 minutes.
Actually, I was just rolling up because the bottom of the sleeve is
blue. Look, have you, Norm, Eric, you know him for about 25 years.
Yeah.
Did he ever pull up his shirts anytime? Anytime, be honest.
I was too busy eating at the Blue Jay game.
All right, tell us.
Maybe that's how your arms got so they're carrying the plate.
Yeah, Joe, this is from 20 years of Blue Jay hot dogs.
Yeah.
You can only get that up
All right. Yeah, not anyone can lift that plate.
Even Heather wants to know because I played this date up last week, huge, all right? tell everybody where you went, what you did, how was the date? Is there going to be a second date? Did you wear socks? Did you wear Chelsea shortstop for what?
Well, Joe, how far is this supposed to go?
We want to, inquiring minds want to know. Come on.
Inquiring minds just need to know that what goes with Norm stays with Norm. And it was a nice evening. And
where did you go? Seriously, did you take her to Starbucks?
No, I went to a nice Italian restaurant near Young and Lawrence. Probably a lot of people.
Okay, Eric wants to ask the big question.
Parmigiano.
Parmigiano. Okay, so Eric wants to know because you're a notorious cheapskate. Did you pay? Did you pay?
Yes, I always pay.
Did you go 50-50 or did you pay 100%?
No, I paid I paid 1,000%.
1,000%. Wow.
1,000%.
Can you believe that? Eric, can you believe that? He actually took his wallet.
Joe, I don't may shock you, but I'm actually a gentleman.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
So give us your top three dating tips for people like, say, me, that's in the world and dating and trying to figure out.
Okay, I wouldn't say I'm a dating expert, but I would just say in terms of just you know, making sure you get along with people. The first thing is
you gotta get along.
The most important thing is be a good listener.
Yes.
Okay. Everybody has an ego. Yes. Everybody has the same ego. Everybody wants to be heard and appreciated. The number one thing that drives people nuts is when someone talks about themselves and talks and talks and talks.
Oh my gosh.
It's like the classic scene. You're walking down the street, you see somebody you know, right? And they say, how are you? But by the time you're ready to answer, they're halfway down the street. It's like, thanks for listening.
All right, that's number one.
Number one, be a good listener. The other thing is you don't have to be stunning, gorgeous, like that. Just be well-groomed. Just make yourself the best possible. See, our producer understands. He agrees.
He's getting divorced. All right.
He's saying muy buena.
Okay.
You're okay, buena.
All right, number three.
Number three,
just go be yourself. Just be who you are. Don't try to be anybody else. Don't try to impress. Don't just be honest about who you are and talk. Don't change your opinions. People want someone who's unique. That's what draws people to other people is it's a unique personality. And that grows on people more so than even your appearance after time. It's like, be who you are, because ultimately that's who people want to get to know. I think those are reasonable tips.
Here is the question of all questions.
Yeah.
All right? Everybody wants to know this. Eric wants to know it. Heather wants to know.
I'm sure. Yeah.
I want to know what I want to know.
Is there a second date?
Well, to be fair, Joe, to be very honest, which I always am, it's a lady I've known for a long time. So we've gone out, you know, we go about, let's say, 3-4 times a year. So I've known her for a long time. So this is not something.
What? Disappointing thing. All right.
Not disappointing at all.
Very disappointing.
If you were with her, you wouldn't be disappointed. Trust me, Joe.
I don't know what to say. I don't know.
We ended the show with a great compliment.
All right.
So you've been listening.
You've been listening and watching Barn Burner Network here on KWNRadio.tv. Barn Burner Live every Thursday, starting 7 p.m. every Thursday. Heather Tool, tell everybody how to get a hold of you social media wise.
You can get me on Twitter at @TrulyTool and on Instagram at @HeatherOtool13.
Check her out, one of the best. Now, Eric, tell everybody once again, Saturday, a huge, huge match at Lamport Stadium. Tell them how to purchase tickets. And even Norm is going to be there at the celebrating.
Yeah, in my mind, I will be for sure. Yeah.
Again, www.TorontoWolfpack.com. That's all you got to do.
All right, Norm, any last comments here?
Well,
dating tips, Norm. More dating tips.
Joe, we should try and get some sponsorship for these like social talks. Eh? Yeah. Maybe one of those dating.
What about your former place? You know that you frequented when you were on the Fat 590. Eric knows about them.
You're talking about the strip joints, or as guys call them, the Ripper bars. Yeah. No. They. I don't know that they're allowed on a place like Cape Wyatt.
Yeah. Okay. Producer says yes.
Oh, they are.
Yes.
Well, that's a whole lot. He's getting very excited. Well, I was sponsored by two of them, but to be honest, I was a perfect gentleman, and I was only there to do sports announcements. And
like what?
After the girls, after the featured dancers do their show.
Not where I think I
After the announced. Featured dancers do their He's all, come on in the studio!
He wants to know, look, inquiring minds want to know,
So after the Beecher Girls did their show on stage, I would once an hour go on and take the microphone and talk sports with the guys, right? Because 99% guys there.
Yeah.
And I would talk sports with them. Then I'd go back and sit backstage and just, you know, they would feed me and drink.
That was their tactic to sell more alcohol.
Well, I think it worked. And I would voice their commercials on the radio station.
All right. On that note, I'll be back in like one of the studios.
Or as one of the commercials on the back then on the Fan said, it was a great commercial read by one of our female staff. Is the commercial went, "Come see Norm and all of his friends."
You actually have friends? Wow. All right. So on that note, I'll be back here on Monday with Eric Cohen and Heather. Are you going to join us for NFL Blitz?
Not sure.
Your San Francisco 49ers are undefeated. Are they going to win?
They are. Norm, I think it's going to be close. I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout. It's going to be a very close game.
They play Baker Mayfield.
But I think that Cleveland Browns. And the boys, they can pull it off.
Joe, you got to love New England, eh? You got to love New England.
On that note, Bernardo, time to say bye-bye here. You've been watching Barn Burner Live here on K101Radio.tv, part of the Barn Burner Network. We'll be back. I'll be back Monday. We'll be back next Thursday at 7 p.m. Thanks a lot, Eric Grossman.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And check out, don't forget to check out the Toronto Wolfpack this Saturday. And hopefully, good luck.
2:30.
Yep. 2:30, she'll be there.
Good luck.
Norm will be drinking and giving dating advice to everybody in the
especially you, Joe.